This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. It is opening day in baseball. Yes, end of March, still 30-something degrees when you're driving in, but it's going to warm up into the 50s, and the Yankees will take the field in the Bronx today. Yes, the 2025 version of the New York Yankees coming off an American League championship last year, then getting smacked around by the Dodgers and it ending in disappointing fashion, will start another run back to where they want to be. And the New York Mets with Juan Soto and this new regime and everybody saying that they now have the spotlight on them and they are the big brother because of what happened in the offseason. They started against the Yankees nemesis in the Houston Astros. So much talk, so much bickering, so much back and forth. Met fans, Yankee fans, the rivalry is as hot as it's been since 2000 when they met in the Subway Series. And it starts today and it ends a long time from now. We're going to be here for all of it. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Play ball!
Yeah, I can't wait, man. This is great and this is finally here. And now we can finally start discussing exactly what happens to both of these two teams and all the changes that they've made, all the different people that we're going to see for the first time, especially in a Yankee uniform in a real game. We may even see some facial hair,
yes,
some beards, which will be a little bit unique, to say the least. But I will say that hope springs eternal for all of these teams. You know that. I know that. I think the Yankee outfield is going to be pretty stocked, especially if Jason Dominguez comes around and he does what he's supposed to do. They're going to move, I guess, looks like Aaron Judge is going to be playing right field. Cody Bellinger is going to be in center. So you feel like you're really confident there. There'll be a new second baseman for you, a new first baseman for you. Austin Wells is going to be the leadoff hitter. I was reading and hearing our buddy Brandon Tierney, my Yankee go-to fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, talking about Anthony Volpe and how important this year is for him.
That's a Volpe.
Right, we'll have a revolving door at third base for sure. And we have these injuries within the pitching staff. However, they should have a very good bullpen. So, hey, look, they're Juan Soto less, but can Goldschmidt and Bellinger and Dominguez somehow collectively pick all of that, you know, production up? Can they Can they lengthen this lineup? Can they give Aaron Judge the protection that he needs? And can Aaron Judge continue to do what he has done as a New York Yankee?
Yeah, and once they lost Juan Soto to the Mets, they focused on pitching and defense more so in the offseason to try to make up for the offense. You can win in certain ways, obviously, in baseball. And what's unfortunate about that is their two best pitchers last year go down. One we expect back in Luis Gil, but of course Gerrit Cole is going to be out for the entire year. So that's a big blow when you start to build your team in that way and you're counting on those two guys and neither one of them we're going to see anytime soon. That's a big problem. But every time, every year, we talk about these same things, big injuries, and it's those who have depth, and it's those who can stay healthy, and it's those who have the guys that come up and fill in. I mean, I remember it was a number of years ago where everybody got hurt on the Yankees, and then every single guy who Brian Cashman brought in was able to keep the thing together. And sometimes that happens, and sometimes guys get hurt, and the thing torpedoes right into the ground. So we'll see who picks up the slack. Carlos Rodon gets the start today. Of course, he's been disappointing since coming over here on a big contract. And we'll see what Max Fried is and if he is someone that can be in that Cy Young conversation that Gerrit Cole was in last year. I mean, that's what he's going to need to be if this team is going to win the AL again.
So I think what Yankee fans want to see today, if I had to just put my Yankee, you know, kind of soothsaying hat on, they want to see Carlos Rodon go out there and be the pitcher that they paid for. And don't have any, you know, drama associated with it. If you told me he went five innings and gave up a run, I think everybody would be totally happy with that. And hopefully the Yankees offense wakes up and, you know, they steamroll today and they win opening day and they get off to a great start and he gets off to a great start because he needs to get off to a great start. He needs to build his confidence. You know, the thing that I hate the most, and we talked about this yesterday, is players who do sign big contracts. They come here to New York or wherever they go, but really particularly here in New York, and then they have to sit and they have to deal with those expectations. And the fans are not going to be patient. You know, they're just not going to be patient, especially with this whole flirtation that we had supposedly with Juan Soto, which we all knew wasn't true. And then they go out and they replace him with Bellinger and Goldschmidt and trying to get, you know, that kind of production from those two guys, you know, and you're hoping that they're going to give it to you. I think Bellinger will give it to you. I think he'll fit in nicely for Yankee Stadium and for the Yankees and in this lineup. But for a guy like Carlos Rodon, he has got to go out and he's got to show the Yankee fan that he belongs here and he doesn't go into that death spiral of loss of confidence.
Yeah, and that usually happens in the bigger games. He was able to figure it out for most of the regular season last year. Then you put him in big spots, and that's where he crumbles a little bit. Do you want to say that today is a big spot?
Yeah, sure it is.
Opening day, then yeah, this is when you don't normally get the best version of him, but he's got to figure that out. I mean, all these guys in that rotation now have just extra pressure on them, spotlight on them to be great. And the two guys at the top now, with no Gerrit Cole, no Luis Gil, and Carlos Rodon and Max Fried got paid a ton of money to come here and pitch in big games, and they better do it well or this Yankee team will go nowhere.
And by the way, you know, they're opening with those pesky Brewers.
The pesky Brewers.
Yeah, that's who we opened with last year and got swept.
That's right. It was ugly. I mean, God, the Yankees should ugly. Be opening against the Astros, and we should be open. Not we. The Mets should be opening against.
You could say we.
No, I don't do
that
anymore.
We're Met fans.
I know, but I don't do that anymore. It's the team, you know. It's,
I felt like, you know, when I put on my Met uniform as a seven-year-old, I still have somewhat of the tingling of opening day.
Yeah, but
you know, it's us.
But we're not seven anymore. You know what I'm saying?
I'm certainly not seven, but I still have fond memories of those days.
Sure, and you can, and I've got fond memories of opening days too. I've probably been to about 10 of them at Shea Stadium and Citi Field combined. So it's great, but I'm not going to say we anymore. But the Mets should be starting with the Brewers, and the Yankees should be starting with the Astros. But baseball is strange. They start the end of March. Things don't make sense. It's not even a 1 o'clock first pitch. It's 3 o'clock.
And by the way, you got two teams playing in minor league stadiums, the Rays
year,
and
yeah.
the A's.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, baseball's in a weird spot. They just lost their ESPN contract. I don't know if they'll figure out a way to get it going the right way again. But, you know, ESPN has spent so much money on the NFL and so much money on college football that, you know, it's like somebody had to go. Somebody had to get
yeah.
cut.
No, absolutely. And you know, the way that baseball is looked at here in New York is totally different than the way it's looked at across the country. And it's become a regional sport and one of the most regional sports there is at this point. And we have just such a deep-rooted baseball fandom here with all the history all the way back to the two teams before they left for California. Now the Yankees and the Mets and the successes and the failures that they have had. I mean, this is it's a baseball town. But you go throughout the rest of the country, we're not a baseball country anymore. So, yeah, we talk about it here. Every one of my friends is into it. Everybody talks about the Yankees and Mets.
Did you just say we're not a baseball country?
We're not anymore, no.
Did you just say that?
Well, we know that. Yeah, I've said that for years. So
I know.
Have you.
Listen.
We're not.
It's our pastime.
Not anymore. Used to be. Not anymore. Our pastime now is scrolling and football and gambling and weed. Those are our pastimes.
And golf.
And golf. Those are our pastimes. Okay. It's just not anymore. I mean, and like, you know, and I don't want to have some discussion about the romanticism of baseball or anything else, but it's different. I mean, what we experience here is different than other places, and I love it that way, quite frankly.
Normally, when something is romantic, it lasts and takes a little while to get there. Mm. And you kind of like, you know, you're kind of going through it. But now they get the pitch clock, so all that romanticism is gone.
Yeah, I love it.
Which, although we love the pitch clock.
Love the pitch clock. Absolutely love the pitch clock. But this is a huge year for David Stearns, Carlos Mendoza, Steve Cohen, all the Mets brass. I mean, everything was sort of building for them up to this point where the expectations are on them. They've got the high payroll. Of course, it's not as high as the Dodgers. They went out and got the prize free agent. They outbid the Yankees. I mean, this is the year. This is Steve Cohen's banner year that they got to go out and perform.
You talk about these payrolls. I don't know how they count the payrolls. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I see the Mets as the number one spending team, and then you have the Dodgers deferring money, and then you have the Yankees spending. I don't even know who's number one anymore. I'm so confused as to how they add up the numbers, because a lot of the times I'll look at this stuff, and I love looking at it, and I see that the Yankees are the number one team when it comes to spending this year. And then all of a sudden, the next day it changes, and the Mets are the number one team in spending this year. And then it changes again, and it turns out that the Dodgers, when you add up in all the deferments, are the team spending the most money this year. All I can tell you, they're in the top five, and they've spent a lot of money on a lot of guys. And a lot of guys, not every guy is going to live up to that contract. I'm sorry. Not everyone.
Sure. I mean, and sometimes you live up to it for a number of years, and sometimes you don't live up to it at all. I mean, I think what the Mets want out of Juan Soto is what Bryce Harper has given the Philadelphia Phillies, and then some, meaning you got to win a World Series on top of it. You know, Bryce Harper, even though it was a few years ago, he got a lot of money, not nearly as much as Juan Soto got, but at the time, it was the biggest contract, and he went there, he embraced the city, he became a Philadelphia Philly, he took that team to the playoffs multiple times, took them to the World Series, he absolutely incited the Philadelphia Philly fan in a good way, and that's the very least that Juan Soto's got to do as a Met, and you got to go and win a World Series on top of it to justify all of it. But that's what you want to see. You don't want to see Anthony Rendon to the Angels. You want to see Bryce Harper to the Phillies. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, and Bryce Harper also did it with a bad elbow.
He did, yeah. Tommy John, and ended up hitting and not throwing, and that is the example, because everybody wants to bring up the big failures in free agency and in the Mets history, and Jason Bay and Mo Vaughn, and even recently with other teams like Rendon or a Jacoby Ellsbury with the Yankees. Well, Juan Soto signing when he did was like Bryce Harper signing when he did, 25, 26 years old, going to a place and delivering on that promise.
And you would also say Shohei Ohtani, too.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you know, his elbow blows, he doesn't pitch, and all he does is hit and steal 50 bases. That's a baseball player.
Yeah.
By the way, so here's your MLB up-to-date team salary payroll tracker.
Okay.
All right, so number one is the Dodgers.
Makes sense.
Number two is the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay.
Number three is the Mets. Number four is Toronto. Number five is Texas. Number six is Chicago Cubs. And number seven is the Yankees. Now, this is the active roster payroll tracker.
Well, yeah, the Yankees drop down because Gerrit Cole goes on the IL, and that doesn't count to the active payroll tracker.
And they get some insurance there, right?
I believe so, yes. Not all of it, but some of it.
All right, so now I'm going to give you multi-year cash.
Do I care?
This is where the Mets are number one.
Oh, the multi-year cash? All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's because Juan Soto. Multi-year cash.
But Shohei Ohtani's making $700 million. And that's why the Dodgers are second.
Okay. All right.
And the Yankees are third.
I see that. Multi-year cash.
So depending on what your subheading is depending on where your team ranks.
Bottom line is the Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Phillies spend a lot of money, brother. That's right. And they want to win. All these teams want to win. And unfortunately, the Phillies are in the Mets division. And that's going to be a problem along with the Braves. The Yankees, as we know, have a little bit of an easier path, even though you got the pesky Orioles in there and the Red Sox are trying to get back into the mix.
They are kind of pesky. Now, I did see where there is one team that has the lowest win total over the last 35 years. Don't you answer who that is. Al, who is the team that is projected?
I think he's going to know this.
That is projected to have the lowest win total. I think it's 53.5 games.
White Sox.
Yeah, I knew he would know.
Look at you.
I knew
he
would know.
On it.
I knew
he would. I'm very proud of you this opening day, Al.
Thank you so much.
No one loves baseball like Al Dukes. Nobody out there. Now, you give me your Bob Uslers. You know, give me your Chris Mad Dog Russos. Give me all those guys. Give me your Mark Chernoffs. Nobody loves baseball to his core, down to his pelvis, his hernia mesh. Yes. This man loves baseball down to every fiber of him.
He was a really good softball player and a very good teammate, I might add.
Yeah.
Very unselfish.
Indeed. Yes, without a doubt. Well, it is back for all of us. And I know Jerry always talks about he loves baseball. It's his best friend in the summer, and it's always
on. Jerry
says
that?
Oh, yeah, he says that. Yeah, it's always on.
Does he walk around saying that?
That's what he says. It's on all the time.
Wait a minute.
He knows it's going to be there.
It's his best friend?
Yeah, he says it's his companion. He goes, a lot of things let you down in life, but, you know, baseball is always going to be there. These are the things he says. That's what he loves baseball in the summer.
I know he loves baseball.
You know, he knows it's going to be on. He's like, the inconsistencies in life are out there everywhere. But you know that from the end of March all the way through October, baseball is going to be there for you. You'll have friends that come and go. You'll have love that comes and goes. You'll have seasons change. But baseball will always be by your side.
That's what Jerry Reckles
says. That's what
says.
He says, yeah. You never heard him say that? It's crazy.
I've never heard him say
that. No, he gets into that.
I know he loves coaching baseball.
He does.
I know he loves watching his kids play baseball.
He's not doing that anymore. The kids have outgrown that. Now they play golf together, which is great. But baseball's your companion, man.
That's his companion.
It's a
sidecar. I know he loves baseball, but the way that you just put that this morning, I didn't realize that it was that impactful in his life.
It is. And we've got many, many people this morning, people that are already driving to the Bronx with a 3 p.m. first pitch to go out there and tailgate. I guarantee you there's at least a couple of them that feel the same way. And then eternal optimists, as you say. The ones that say, Garrett Cole gets hurt, don't worry about it. From the Yankee perspective, Luis Gil hurt, we'll figure it out. We're the Yankees. And from the Mets standpoint, our rotation looks not great on paper, but they're going to be great. The pitching lab, we are going to be great.
We have a pitching lab, that's
Clay
true.
Holmes is going to be in the Cy Young conversation. All the hope that is here on this March 27th, 2025. How soon does that go away? Hopefully it
does. Last year it went away like in the first 6 weeks for the Mets.
And then it came back in the best way possible.
It came roaring back.
It came back in the best way possible.
We're only here a short time, and then you're dead.
Yeah.
I mean, but baseball's here all the time.
It is.
According to him.
Well, while you're living, yes.
Yes.
Yep, that's right. By the way, you know, I was getting real nostalgic driving in this morning. Al Cintron was in for Chris McMonagle, and you just had some wonderful callers calling up. Back to back, one man, you know, he called up and said that he stopped being a Yankee fan when the Yankees fired Mel Allen in 1964. And then right after that, another caller called up and said, I like opening day, but it hasn't been the same since the 1950s. That was his favorite opening day. And then right after that, a man said, yes, I've been a Mets fan and watched them play in the Polo Grounds. And
Jesus.
It just got
older people don't sleep. That's the problem.
Yeah, it just got the bubbles going for me. You know what I'm saying?
Bubbles.
Just thinking about that. And then the guy who called up and said that he stopped being a Yankee fan in 1964 because they fired Mel Allen said he knew he made the right decision in 1985 when Steinbrenner fired Yogi Berra. He knew 21 years later he made the right move to be
on. Yeah, guess what? We don't care about your baseball memories. No one cares.
It's a good story for you.
Get ready for it, Al. You can't escape.
I was at a game in 1969. No one gives two craps.
It's just something new, man. You turn the page. It's the Giants' offensive line. It's the Giants' draft. Now it's I saw Babe Ruth's last game. No matter what season it is, they're coming for you, man. They're coming for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Al, you know, man, it's the same thing every year. We've been doing this, and today is the day. Today is the day where everybody is just, you know, it's like this day, and then when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, maybe an eventual old-timers day, maybe a little bit of a
Subway Series.
Yeah. Yeah, you get really involved. But today is the day, man. Today is where everybody gets excited about maybe this is the year that their team can win a championship. There's only about six of those teams, but everybody else, you know, they're like, what are we doing?
Right, exactly. Just a long slog to the end of September.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
There he is, the man who has a love affair with baseball.
He does.
No, I don't.
Yeah, yes, you do. You always talk about how it's always there.
I think you got me confused with McMonagle and Brandon Tierney, but
Have you not said over the years
that it's my companion? No, never have I ever said those words.
That's why I was surprised. Always there when you watch it.
Do I say that I enjoy it every night? Sure.
You say that you
can. But the word way you characterized it was completely made up, which is fine.
It's always there.
Worked out for Craig for 10 years, calling me angry. So why not do this?
Well, you sound angry right now.
Who's angry?
What?
Angry was fraud. That was angry. That was angry.
Listen, you have a little tint. This is opening day. Hope springs eternal.
I thought
everybody
that you would
well,
be
when people
angry.
Make stuff up, I don't like it. But that doesn't make me angry.
So that sounds like you're angry.
Who's angry?
You are.
I'm not calling you angry. I'm calling you a lover of baseball. You have said many times.
I do like baseball.
That you love the
it's
fact
not my
that it's
companion
always there
for
in the summer,
though.
That's what you said. It's always there for you in the summer.
Play the tape.
I will find it at some point.
Hey, Jerry. I did actually back you up on this.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
I thought that was a little over the top on his part.
That's all right. It's still opening day. It's great. But, yeah, but I actually thought when I heard it, I thought you were talking about BT or Chris McMonagle. Then I heard my name. I'm like, I don't say those things. I do enjoy it more than most,
angry.
I would say.
You're a little bit angry.
Who's angry? Your opinion is worthless.
See?
Most are.
See?
Most opinions are worthless. That is true.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Feel that way.
I do. Yeah.
How about your own opinion?
Worthless for most people other than my own. Most people have opinions that have zero facts behind them. Like, ask people about politics. Do they really know what they're talking about? No.
It depends on what part of politics.
Let me ask you this. You played in the NFL. Do you honestly think fans know what they're talking about?
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. You do not.
I have come to learn over the years that I do believe that fans know a lot more about their team.
No, that's not what I said. Like, when they criticize certain plays... You understand the complexities of the plays and why they break down.
There are some complexities that people don't understand, and I try to explain here.
We just see it as it didn't work, you suck.
Right, and I always say that the other guys get paid too, so you got to give them some credit as well. But I will say...
They've got families.
That, yes, they do have families.
They have families.
I will say that faces know their teams. They know their team. Just like I know the Rangers inside and out. Like, that's my team that I follow, mm-hmm. that I believe in, that I love, that I have great memories with. I mean... That's how fans are about their teams.
They're passionate.
You're that way with the Cowboys.
Sometimes I've gotten older, not as much, but yes, that is true.
he came in here. You came in here. This is how dialed in you are. You came in here and you said that this could be Jerry Jones'
final year. Oh, God, here we go again.
Year.
I mean, you got to stop.
No, but you said that.
I didn't. I played a tape of him saying that. I swear to God, one year I am going to bring in a dead horse and just sit it right there and let it rot in front of you. At least I gave you new lies today. It was new. I'll give you that. That is true.
I'm just trying, Jerry,
mm-hmm.
to make a point. That's why I have to beat
the
dead horse.
What does that have to do with the fans' opinion that Jerry Jones said he didn't have much time left?
When you came in here and you said that morning, Gio and I were shocked.
Yeah.
But then again, you're the fan of the Cowboys. We're not, so you would know that he's close to death.
That is not what I said. It's what he said.
But it's how you played it, and then how you like said this could be it. This could be his final year.
He said he didn't have much time left. I think, right? Isn't that
you said that?
Isn't that what this? I think you actually did say
yes.
And like, he doesn't have much time left. I think that's what he said. I got to go find this clip again. Oh, my God. All right.
I would like to play something for you, though, because I heard your thing about the old guys calling in.
Yes, yes.
I am not making fun of this at all. I really feel like us as a station, we're trying to get younger.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I did hear this yesterday. Quite frankly, almost drove off the road when I did. But this was coming back from break into BT and Sal.
Take WFAN to church, just like your dad did. Download the free Odyssey app today and listen to the fan.
Hey, WFAN what? To church, just like your dad did? What the hell's idea was that?
That's real?
I heard it.
This actually aired.
Yes.
You're not messing with us.
No.
Take WFAN to church, just like your dad did.
What? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Is that like more of a promo for religion than it is
no,
a
I
radio
think it's,
station?
It's actually anti-religion because like your dad was going through the motions going to church, but he could care less about what was being said. He was listening to, you know, whoever was on Sunday morning. He was listening to Mike with the NFL Now.
What? I am completely and utterly confused.
I thought it was a good attempt to get younger.
Let me ask you a question. Whose idea, who came up with that?
I don't know who writes these. I have no
idea.
Now,
is that the brand ambassador that came up with that? Because if that is, we have to have a conversation.
I just thought it was funny, that's all. It caught my attention. I noted the time in the car and everything.
It's got to be the brand ambassador, right?
It has to be. It has to be one of his ideas.
Does he go to church?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about
that. He doesn't seem like a church guy to me.
Is that like a...
What's a church guy?
You know the church guys in your life?
Yeah, they're all different walks. I don't know
but you know who they are. And you can. I think you can make a mild assumption of who we think church guys are around here.
I mean, is there a movie or TV show that they are trying to mimic with this? Because sometimes that happens.
That could be. That's possible. Like I said, it just caught my ear, and I wasn't going to play it until you were talking about the older callers, and it made me think, you know what? That's right. We're trying to get their kids in now because we're getting old, and we need to skew a little bit younger.
And now you can actually hide the ear plugs better, a little bit better, or
yes,
your phones a little bit better.
Well, I didn't say
back in the day, you think your dad went in there with a big set of headphones
and his
transistor radio?
Yeah, that's the other thing about it. Just like your dad did, there's no way
I don't
walk in with a boombox on your shoulder.
I think it means listen on your way to church. It didn't say take him into the church.
No, that's how I interpreted it.
Of course you did.
See, this is the thing. Like, everybody interprets it a little bit differently.
I'm so confused.
Right. It was funny. Anyhow, you do have BT and Sal at the stadium today. You got the Yankees and the Brewers. They're going to have Aaron Boone right out the chute at 10 a.m. And then Andy Pettitte, who is going to throw the first pitch, will be on with them at 10:15.
It is go time.
It is go time, yes.
Go time, baby.
You got the pregame at 2:25, and then we will hear Dave Sims and Susan Walton at 3:05.
Nice. Yep. A lot of pressure on Dave.
Carlos Rodon. Well,
a lot of pressure,
I suppose.
On Dave.
Carlos Rodon, Freddie Peralta.
It's
you think he
great.
Feels it that way?
I don't think he does, and he shouldn't because he's a pro.
He's been doing a long time.
I'm telling you, man, you step in that booth after all those years of John Sterling. It's a lot of pressure.
Does it help, though, that John wasn't around for much of last year?
No.
Okay.
Because he came back when it mattered.
True. That's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
Mets will be in Houston to play the Astros. Clay Holmes, the opening day start against Framber Valdez. First pitch on Mets Odyssey Radio, 880 at 4:10 p.m. Baseball, you also mentioned the TV thing going on with ESPN and baseball.
Yeah.
So Rob Manfred was in studio with Chris Russo at Sirius XM, and Chris asking the question as only he can.
Keeled over when ESPN said they were going to opt out of the contract. Or did you see it coming?
Did you die?
Did you drop dead when you heard about that? Did you take your last breath when they sent that email?
It's pretty funny. So, yeah, so that was in studio. He basically said, you know, they weren't happy with us. We weren't happy with them. So we move on. All right, we did hear from Russell Wilson. I have a clip next hour that I just found, and I'll obviously be very upfront that it's fake. It's AI. I mean, my God, it sounds just like him. I'll give you that next hour. But this was him on social media to the fans.
What's up, guys? Russell Wilson here, quarterback of the New York Giants. Man, I'm so excited to be here. And let's make sure we make this happen. Let's do whatever it takes. Go Big Blue.
There you go. Go Big Blue.
Uh-oh.
Then he knew that was coming.
Gio, this is right up your alley.
No, we are. We knew everything that he did. We called yesterday. He was going to show up at places. He was courtside at the Knicks game. You're going to see him at the Met Gala, whenever that is.
Giants did the video of him walking into the building.
It's just going to be, he's going to be everywhere, and that's fine. That's him. And that's what in New York was a part of, like that part of New York was a part of his decision, I'm sure, that he wanted to do this and his wife and everything else. So we got to get used to it.
Well, here he is expecting to be the starter.
Yeah, I expect to be a starter and come in here and be ready to rock and roll every day. I think to get a lead, I think this team's really looking for somebody to lead them in every way in terms of the process, in the offseason, during the season, our habits and our thought process and how we create a great winning culture.
Oh, we shall see if they can do that. Asked about being...
Brian Daboll hugging Ciara is just like, if there's an image that just sums up his tenure here, is him hugging Ciara.
You see how red his head was from like probably just feeling weird?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of like a normal embarrassment / anxiety, yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, here he is. He is here now. He is a Giant.
Coming here, obviously, being in New York, it's an exciting place to play. It's a place that wants to win. It's a place that knows how to win and has won before. And so for me, it's bringing everything I know, all the experiences, all the touchdowns, all the wins, but also all the love and passion for the team.
How do you decide the hug over the handshake?
I was just going to bring that up, Jerry. If that's me, I just tried to put myself in his shoes.
Yeah.
I would have gone handshake. To go in for the hug there, someone as famous as that, who's a female that you're meeting for the first time, chances are, no way. Can't do it.
Even if he's like, welcome to the family, I still think I go with the handshake.
Like if you're Pete Carroll or someone like that has been around for a very long time. But Ciara doesn't know who Brian Daboll is.
I know.
That's a handshake spot.
I agree.
It's one of those awkward spots, that's all.
Handshake.
It's an awkward spot, that's
all. Would you go in and hug her?
Me?
If she walked in here right now? We had Russell Wilson on today in studio and she came
I've
with
never
that,
met her? Her. I've never met her. No. The only way I would hug her is if she leaned in towards me for the hug.
Yeah, like but she's not.
She could give you the vibe that she's looking for the hug.
But she's not going to do that. She's
waiting
for that.
If she didn't, I wouldn't do it.
That's right. It's awkward, though. You put the hand out, she leans in, and now it's like,
I could do the pro hug with Russell.
Did she lean in to Dable?
No, he went right for it. Yeah, he did the bro hug with Russell Wilson and then went full arms out for Ciara. Mm. I bet you he talked about that going in. What should I do? Should I go handshake? Should I go hug? And then they're filming it, everything else. But if you have that, you got to go all in, whatever it is. It's like when I stick shifted Bill O'Reilly at the Islander game in the elevator because we both would not budge. Like he went pound, I went handshake. Neither one of us budged, and then I grabbed his fist and shook it. All that happened.
And that's called stick shifting.
That's called stick shifting. And I have witnesses. I've got Jay from the Islanders, yes. I've got Gina, and I've got John Ledecky. And Bill O'Reilly, if he remembers it, will tell the same story.
All right, stick-shifted Bill O'Reilly.
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And everybody except Bill O'Reilly, once the elevator opened and he got a couple steps ahead, just started dying laughing. It's really bad.
Knicks lost to the...
Stick-shifted.
Yeah, stick shifted him.
Knicks lost to James Harden and Ben Simmons and the Clippers last night, 126-113. How's that sound?
Mm. I mean, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal.
Kawhi Leonard as well, 126-113.
Again, the night before, you play against a crappy team, doesn't have the stars, and everybody's all excited about triple-doubles and everything else, and it's fine. And then the reality smacks you right back in the face the next night.
LA 16 of 30 from 3, 53%.
Look at how wide open.
Oh, no, there's a guy like 15 feet from him.
There's nobody near them.
Yeah, I know.
It was ridiculous.
Understood. This is not Nick defense you got used to.
This is the NBA basketball thing that stinks. That game last night was terrible.
It was like a punt. Like they punted that game.
They punted the game.
That's what it feels like.
So did the Nets. They lost by 30 to the Raptors. I'll have some LeBron James with McAfee coming up throughout the course of the morning. I just got to get to it. You got Sweet 16 NCAA tournament tonight. Newark, BYU, and Alabama, followed by Duke and Arizona. And then in San Francisco, your Terps will take on Florida. Arkansas plays Texas Tech. Kevin Willard, the rumblings are loud that he's going to Villanova.
Yeah, they're very loud. And the reason for that is because, as I was saying yesterday, if you look at these smaller teams that don't have big football programs associated with them, that means they'll have more money to spend on players.
A lot more, because they get most of the settlement.
At Maryland, as I understand it, now I believe this is accurate. So they have this $20 million number that all these Power Five conferences are going to be sharing with their players.
Yep.
As I understand it, the way they're going to break it down at Maryland, at least it's the way that Damon Edmonds, the previous AD, had it broken down, $16 million to football, $4 million to basketball.
Yep.
So the underlying discussion points that I think Kevin Willard has been talking about is that split right there.
Very much so.
That is a real tough one for him if he wants to build that program there. And I can tell you right now, it's your typical Maryland political BS mess. We've been going on for this for years.
It's in other places too, though. For sure.
Oh, I know it is. I'm not saying Maryland's the only one, but it just so happens that, you know, for the first time in how many years we're in the Sweet 16, we got a really good team, we got a really good coach, and Villanova is going to steal the coach from Maryland.
And by the way, I forgot the kid's name. Josan Sanin, I believe, is the first guy that Rick Pitino grabbed out of the portal. Was a very high level freshman, averaged 13 points per game. Maybe Arizona State, I don't remember, but they made a little bit of news yesterday, so they struck quickly because they'll have most of the nil money without having the football program.
I guess that's your silver lining when you get
I wasn't
early.
Saying it. I'm just saying struck pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's just like one of those things. Like you got whoever it was, Tom Izzo yesterday, saying, I'm not looking in the portal because I got to focus on this.
Well, he's not looking in the portal, but his coaching staff is.
That's true.
I guarantee he's got a GM over there looking in the portal. And again, he's another coach that's got to deal with a football program.
Islanders lost, Devils won.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I asked Grok a couple of questions in the break, and I got to give Grok credit and AI credit because they actually give you answers. They give you opinions on this. They could very easily say, I can't predict stuff like that because nobody can, but they take the information and they give you an opinion. They give you a prediction. So I typed in there, how many games will the Yankees win? Grok says.
All right. Can I guess?
Yeah, sure. You can guess. Yeah.
I'm going to guess the Yankees are going to win 93 games.
That's your guess or what you're guessing Grok said?
That's what I'm guessing Grok said.
Grok says, I'll peg them at 88 wins for the regular season.
Wow.
That's a step back from 94, accounting for Soto's exit and the pitching injuries, but not a collapse. Judge and the bullpen keep them competitive.
All right, so let me write this down now.
It'll just show you that AI is not going to be able to do any better than we do.
What is Grok's? What does it say? 88 wins?
88 wins for the Yankees.
Okay.
I also put in there.
Yep.
How many games will the Mets win this year? How many games will the Mets win?
69!
Let's hope not.
Let's say more than that. Let's say 92.
90 games.
90 games.
As Grok says, balancing these inputs, I'd estimate the Mets will win 90 games in 2025. This assumes that Soto and Lindor maintain elite production.
Assuming.
The offense compensates for an average rotation, and the team secures a wild card spot rather than the division crown.
Wow. Spend all that money and you don't win the division crown.
Then I said, who will win the 2025 World Series?
Dodgers.
Okay.
Okay. Did they give you a list of who is projected to win the World Series?
They gave me the matchup, the winner, and the number of games.
Dodgers and Braves.
Dodgers win in six over. Well, it can't be the Braves. It'd be the NLCS. The Dodgers win in six over the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow.
That's what Grok is saying.
So take that for what it's worth. Now, I know that there's all these other predictions. There's Pacoda. There's everybody. There's humans who actually predict these things. But I was curious to see if Gronk would give me an answer.
Yeah, and I would think that all the analytics departments and all the teams can come up with all their own numbers.
Yeah. Like, I wonder, like, everybody's got these analytics departments.
Yeah.
Are they doing stuff like this? And I'm like half joking. Like, is there someone who is putting something in AI going, should we re-sign Sean Manaea? Like, they spit out some numbers to him.
Yeah, I would say yes. They look at all the numbers. They look at the spin rate too, by the way.
No, but I'm saying, like, do they use AI, I wonder, for its opinions on things? I mean, it's a good resource.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take in a lot of information, and, you know, there's, you know, those AI, you know, are all basically based on algorithms of everything that's been written and said and done over the last 6 months prior to opening day.
That's right. So here we are. Gronk, Yankees, 88 wins. Mets, 90 wins. Neither of them, according to Gronk, going to the World Series. It'll be the Dodgers over the Orioles. A lot of people like the Orioles this year. Dodgers over the Orioles.
Pesky, scrappy.
In six games. Roscoe in West Orange. What's going on, Roscoe?
Hi, not much. I want to address the wearing of the earphones in church because
yeah.
It's specifically something I used to do when I went to church when my kids were young with my wife.
Yeah.
I would position myself, and whatever position where my wife was, I would put the earphone in the opposite ear so she couldn't see it. Eventually, I figured out if I went to the cry room with the younger kid, I could listen, and I would listen to probably the Sunday show, and enjoy the church service as well.
Enjoy it, yeah, as well at the same time. So a little bit of both, Roscoe. So you are the guy that promo is targeting.
It targeted me last year during the first Holy Communion on a Saturday. I was listening to Joe Beningo during the service.
Who was making more sense?
Well, I think it was during the early part of the Mets year season, so probably the communion.
Okay, all right. Very
I got to feel like we are coming into the high holy season.
Oh, indeed.
After all.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but, you know, wouldn't you say synagogue as well? Wouldn't you say temple?
Yeah.
Just say church?
That is true. If you're
you got to go all the way. If you're going to go religion, you got to go all the way.
Yeah, mosque, throw that in there.
You throw that in there.
Yeah, yeah. Like something with Scientology, I would think.
Sure, the volcano.
Yeah, the Thetans. At least, I mean, you really can't alienate anybody these days. So something with the...
You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
You're leaving out the Latter-day Saints thing. I mean, we really got to go after it. I mean, so if Big Hurls is listening, it can't just be church. We got to go through all the...
Yeah, and there's only 45,000 different versions of Christianity alone.
Right. Exactly.
So,
I mean, how do the Episcopalians feel about this promo? Yep. I don't know.
Don't know.
I don't know.